Hi, good evening, Plaid. Now we're gonna begin our class. We're gonna take off right where we stopped last week, and we're gonna continue with the conversation that God had with Miriam and Moses in the 12th chapter of Numbers. This is gonna be very important because we're gonna see the inside of this conversation that God had and why God dealt with Miriam and Aaron the way He dealt with them. It was a certain reason. Why? You see, you remember that Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, they were God's leaders. And they stood before the people all the time. They always was up front. And so God had to deal with his inner circles real strong so the people see the authority of God. God had no respect of a person. And know that God is who He is, and God's gonna deal with people no matter who they are. Even Moses' own family. When people saw God deal with Moses' family, I'm sure it went through their mind, if God deal with Moses' family like this, a fear and a reverence came upon them. I know it did. I know it did, because God showed Himself no respect of a person. Okay, so remember we're in number 12 now. The stage is set. When I say the stage is set, God had called Moses, Miriam, and Aaron before Him. Now, Miriam and Aaron, they stand before God, and God is about to reveal Himself to them in a way they've never experienced before. They may have heard from God through dream or vision. But now this is the first time they have really heard God's voice. Moses was leading the people of Israel by God's voice. But this was their first time. And sad to say, the first time they heard God's voice was in judgment, was in correction. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather God leave me with His voice and not have to correct me like He did with Miriam and Aaron in such a way. That was profound, and it changed the whole course of their life. God had to be real strong with some people sometimes. God had to be real coarse with people sometimes, because God knows the degrees of men's heart. God knows everybody's heart, and you know what they have to do to make the correction. So sometimes God is firmer with some, maybe firmer with others than with others, because God knows. That some can take just a little tap and others might take a cut. Might have to cut some. Amen. Now, this was the first time the Lord, I'm beginning back in chapter 13, this was the first time that the Lord spoke to them, Aaron and Miriam, and it was not in revelation, but in reproof. Not the manifestation of God's glory, but the judgment of their conduct. You hear that? God judged their conduct because it was inappropriate for them to say what they say, and God knew He had to deal with it. Hear not my words, God said. Means that not only had the Lord not spoken before, but that furthermore, He was indicating that He wanted to be allowed to speak just once since they had already been speaking. For many days. In other words, he's saying, class, now watch, here's a good lesson, class. Here's a good lesson. You got to catch this as I talk. When Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moses and God heard it, God been hearing it. What do you mean God been hearing it? That's not the first time I believe that they spoke wrong against Moses and Aaron. It came to the point where God said, I got the judges now. I done heard enough. I done heard enough about them ridiculing. I done heard enough about them judging my servant. I've heard enough. And then God said, I got to deal with it now. Enough. God said, enough is enough. You know? So that wasn't the first time. So God said, it's my turn to speak. God said, let me speak this one time. And so you who are well able to speak, hear now my word. From this we can safely conclude that that was talkative, that the talkative are not able to hear God's word. Only the meek can do so. Moses was one who did not talk, but he did as he was told. It made no difference to him whether he advanced or retreated, as long as it was of God. Aaron and Miriam, however, were different. They were hard and obstinate. Thus God even said, if there be a prophet among you, as though he had forgotten that they were prophets, though Aaron and Miriam were prophets, the Lord only made himself known to them in dream and in vision. With Moses, it was not so, because God spoke mouth to mouth with him, clearly, and not in dark speeches. Such was God's vindication. But you got to watch them. Okay. Faith to faith. To set up authority belongs to God's jurisdiction. Man is not allowed to intrude, nor can man slander, repudiate any authority. It was God who established Moses, and God alone who could reject him. This was God's business. No person should interfere, therefore, with what God has established. Now, class, I just said a mouthful. God the only one that can judge authority. God the only one that can reject an authority. Therefore, what God has established, no man can disestablish. In other words, you can't change what God has done. It's just like hitting against a brick wall and expect the brick wall to move. That wall not moving, class. All you're gonna do is bruise your hands up and your body up trying to move a brick wall. Some people just spinning their wheel. They don't know they're fighting. One man said that. He said, be careful what you do with these men. He was a wise man. He said, you might find yourself fighting against God. And he knew that when you fight against God, you can't win. What I said, when you fight against God, you can't win. This was God's business. No person should interfere, therefore, with what God has established. A man's value before God is not decided by others' judgment, nor by his own judgment. He is measured by the revelation he received from God. I'm going to read that again. A man's value before God is not decided by others' judgment, nor by his own judgment. He is measured by the revelation he received from God. See, like, for instance, Claire, nobody can put a value on you. You know, God is the only one that can judge you. And the only thing you have to require is revelation from God. And thank God no man can judge me. Thank God no man can judge you. Thank God no man can judge apostle. You see it? They got some trying to judge him. They try to judge the money coming mattress. But you know something? They're up against the brick wall. Because what God has established, no man can overthrow. You see it? That's why apostles stick with the revelation. I learned from them so much. You just stick from what God told you to do. He don't deviate from the left, nor to the right. He stay right there down the line. He don't care who say what. No man can value his ministry. No man can value the revelation God give him. And they can't change the revelation. One time, they try to make a song out, money coming. He said, no, he stopped that. He said, no, that ain't what God told me. No, that ain't what God said. God ain't told me to make no song out of it. And the Lord vindicated him. I'm just trying to show you. how powerful this authority is. When God give a man a revelation, it's authority. What I said? When God gives a man revelation, it becomes authority. No man can overthrow it. And if a man tried to overthrow it, he'll find himself fighting against God. And then God had to judge him himself. That's why he said, you don't have to try to protect this ministry. You don't have to try to defend this ministry. You don't have to try to defend me. But God take care of this, whatever God called, God take care of. That we did with Moses. And we have a living example that we're doing with apostles. No man will ever be able to stop money coming. God had put his stamp of approval on money coming. He said the Lord told me he's going to be here till Jesus returns. And that's why this revelation is so important. And that's why some people say, oh, it's just about money. No, they don't know the revelation yet. They don't even know God. Because they knew God, they understood the revelation of money coming. Revelation is God's valuation and measurement. You see it? Revelation. And that's why whenever God calls someone, they have to have a revelation. Why do you mean a revelation? A reason why. God don't call people without reason. God don't call you without an assignment. You see it? And the assignment becomes God's revelation. So revelation is God's valuation and measurement. You see it? Authority is built on God and revelation. And his estimation of a person is according to that revelation. You see it? Woe unto apostles if you don't preach money coming. You see it? And then God still adding on to his revelation. Health coming to the body of Christ. You see it? How would you just watch what the apostles are doing? You know, we could preach about Moses, but God has a revelation right before us. This school of ministry is the revelation. See, God knows what he's doing. And just stay on board. Just stay connected. Yeah, the going might get a little rough sometimes. Yeah, you might say some things might rub you wrong. But just keep your hand to the plow. God gonna take it to where you need to go. You see it? Oh my goodness. If God gives revelation, authority is established. What I say? If God gives revelation, authority is established. But when his revelation is withdrawn, the man is rejected. Oh God, I can prove that. You see it? But when the revelation is withdrawn, the man is rejected. Well, we go back to Saul. Saul got rejected because he didn't understand God's revelation. Yeah, he didn't understand God's revelation. And God said, I'm sorry I made him king. He couldn't finish his assignment. He lost his anointing. And David picked up God anointed David to be king. Because David was a man after his own heart. David had the vision for God. David had the revelation of God. You see it? He had the revelation of God. So when the revelation is withdrawn, the man is rejected. If we want to learn to be an authority, we must pay attention to what is our state before God. I'm going to read that again for you. These are powerful statements, class. If we want to learn to be an authority, we must pay attention to what is our state before God. If God is willing to give us revelation and to speak clearly with us, if we have face-to-face communion with him, then no one can eliminate us. Why? You've heard from God and you got a revelation. You got a revelation. You see, people can't call you. I told the testimony when an apostle was going to preach at a prison, and we were riding in his van, and I'm sitting right on the side of him. And I had this big vision. I had this great vision that God had called me, God, Jesus himself. He said, preach the gospel. He pointed his hand. He said, go into all the world. I had a vision. And go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, and he said, Lord, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. But yet, I still had this doubt in me. Why? Because I hadn't heard from God myself. I didn't understand revelation. I'm still young in spiritual things. I didn't understand about revelation. But I go to a small meeting, and the lady in the meeting didn't know anything about what was going on in me. I knew, and I answered a question in the Bible study, and she made a statement. She said, "Boy, you might be called to preach." But then I heard something on the inside of me, and then I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll preach." This thing became a revelation. But before that, when I was sitting in that van with the apostle, I said, "Pastor, I think God called me to preach." He looked at me. He said, "You ain't called. My goodness." And that stirred me up on the inside some more. I said, "God, boy," I said, "Lord, what am I gonna do with this?" But after I heard the voice of God, you see, apostle said, "No, that a man can't call you." I'm talking about 30 or more 40 years ago. He said, "A man can't call you." He said, "I knew you was called, son." He said, "But I can't call you. God had to call you." What are you saying? God had to give you a revelation of it. And when God give a revelation, ain't no man can take it from me. You see what I'm saying? Now I know I'm called. I'm not guessing about it. And you don't have to approve my calling. See, you don't have to evaluate my calling. You don't have to judge my calling. But I know. You see it? Same thing with you. See, nobody has to evaluate your calling. You see it? Nobody got to, they try to judge your calling. And he said, they can't judge your calling, but you got to know for yourself. What I say? Say you got to know for yourself. So, once God withdraw from man, but when his revelation is withdrawn, the man is rejected. If you want to learn to be an authority, we must pay attention to what our state is before God. If God is willing to give us revelation and to speak clearly with us, and if we have face-to-face communion with him, then no one can eliminate us. You see, that's what I'm trying to say. But if our communion above is severed and the heavens are shut, and though we were fully prospered on the earth, it will all come to naught. I'm gonna read that again. Yeah, listen to this, class. If we have face-to-face communion with God, then no one can eliminate us. But if our communion, not communion, see, I missed a word. But if our communication above is severed, above what? From between us and God. If our communication is severed and the heavens are shut, and though we are fully prospered on this earth, it will come to naught. In other words, once God shut off the flow of revelation, once God cut off his communication with you from heaven, and then you can be prospering, look like on the outside. Everything looks good on the outside. But the anointing is gone. See, that was Saul. Saul was a king that had, God had removed his anointing from him. He held a position, but he had no power. He lost his anointing. That's what he was saying. The writer is saying, you can still be functioning in the office, but there's no anointing for it. It's because your anointing has been withdrawn, you see. It's been withdrawn from you, and you've been, and so you're powerless. It looks good on the outside, but you're powerless. Everything will all come to naught. And open heaven is the seal of God and the testimony of sonship. Oh my goodness. Underline that statement. And open heaven. See, what do you mean heaven open? When God is constantly flowing through you, back to communication. You're hearing from God and God hearing from you. When you got to open heaven, and open heaven is the seal of God and the testimony of sonship. An open heaven is the seal of God and the testimony of sonship. One more time. And open heaven is the seal of God and the testimony of sonship. My, that's powerful. And the Lord Jesus was baptized. After the Lord Jesus was baptized, the heaven were opened to him. baptism symbolizes death. It was at that time when he entered into death and the greatness suffering, which was all, which when it was all dark and there was no way out, that the heavens opened. That's Revelation. See, Revelation is therefore the evidence of authority. Revelation, therefore, is the evidence of authority. We must learn not to strive or to speak for ourselves. We should not join the ranks of Aaron and Miriam in struggling for authority. You know how many people struggling for authority today? They're struggling. They're struggling to build churches. They're struggling to preach. They're struggling to be somebody, and they think it's the popularity that makes the ministry. They think it's the clothes you wear that make the ministry. They think it's the lights, and that's what the apostle is bringing back. He bringing back how it was from the beginning. He bringing back the early church to our sight, so we can see it, so we can understand how the early church functioning. You see, so it's not the glamour. You see, it's the anointing. It's the revelation. And then people are trying to go after the glamour, but without the revelation. And the revelation is what keeps the foundation strong in the ministry. You see, and God knows this. So we see it. We see it, people are striving. They're striving in ministry. What do you mean, struggling in ministry? Why? Because they don't know that revelation is the authority. We must learn not to strive, to speak for strive or speak for ourselves. We should not join the ranks of Aaron and Miriam in struggling for authority. Indeed, if we do strive, it only proves that our authority is wholly carnal, dark, and void of heavenly vision. If we do strive, it only proves that our authority is wholly carnal. Carnal means it's not from God. It's self-made. It has no power, no revelation, no authority. It's carnal, dark, and void of heavenly vision. Moses is faithful in all my house, God said. That's number 12 and 7. Moses, a type of Christ, was faithful in all of God's house. You see it? God called him my servant. To be God's servant simply means that I belong to God. I am his possession. I have been sold to him, and I have therefore lost my freedom. See, Paul called himself a slave. We were sold out. That's what God wants. God wants us sold. That's what the 40 years did to Moses. The 40 years put Moses in position where he was sold out. Lord, whatever you want. Lord, whatever you want. Whenever you get that place, Lord, whatever you want, you sold out. Lord, I don't want to do nothing on myself. You sometimes people have messed up so many times. See, sometimes God is so merciful. You mess up so many times. You get to place and say, Lord, I ain't doing nothing on my own no more. Lord, help me. Lord, I ain't making no move no more on my own. Some people make moves way ahead of God. And then they stumble. God let them stumble. God let them stumble. God let them stumble over themselves. They're over their own feet, even. God let them stumble. And then when they get to the place, they say, Lord, I ain't moving. See, some people move ahead of God so much, they get to the place, they say, Lord, I ain't moving until I hear you. See, that's the wilderness experience. That's 40 years behind the mountain, you see. It will do that. It might not take you 40 years. But what I'm saying is sometimes, no matter how long it takes, you stick with it until God can put in you and take out of you what you need to do. Are you with me, Clad? Are you with me? So I'm beginning to see some things in these lessons. These things are that God has for us. It's already built into God's mind, but God's trying to, through His faith, through our faith, and through God's patience, God is willing to stick with us until we become refined. You see, until we become aged in wisdom, aged in revelation, a place where our ears finally can hear, and our eyes finally can see and understand what the Spirit of God is saying to us, making no move, like a making no move without God telling us to move. You see it? If God ain't moving, we don't move. If God ain't open the door, you keep sitting till God open the door. Don't try to make no doors open yourself. That's all I'm saying, Claire. Don't try to open no doors on your own. Let God do the doors opening. You see it? Let God do the door opening. And don't try to strive on your own. Don't try to push through. Some people are just so anxious. The anxiousness to go. The anxiousness to go is sometimes let you know that you're not ready to go. If you find yourself anxious, that's the flesh trying to push you out ahead of time. No, anxiousness destroys the revelation. You see? Because God can't trust anxious people. God can't trust someone that's so anxious that they can't wait on him. I hope you hear what I'm saying. I've seen some of these things happen in my lifetime. I've seen some people destroyed before time because they got anxious to go preach. I'd rather just sit and don't do anything. But don't despise my training. I see some people think they're just sitting. How long I got to sit, Lord? And they think it's just wasted time. No, it's training time. Oh, I wish you could see that. Just because you're not preaching, just because you're not teaching, just because you're not serving, let it be training time. Be on the backside of the mountain. Keep that in your mind all the time. Keep it in your mind all the time. Yeah, I'm not just sitting. I'm sitting, watching, looking, and learning. What I say? I'm sitting, looking, watching, and waiting, and learning. That's what you got to do. Learn. Sit. Look. Wait. Watch. Watch how your apostle handles things. Watch how your pastor handles things. Watch how you deal with things in the ministry. Watch, because sometimes people come. See, I watch apostle. One time, one lady, she just spoke out, and apostle knew he had to deal with it, but he didn't deal with it at that time. He got wisdom to deal with it. See, a lot of people are novice, and they'll go out ahead of time, and that's why God said don't put no novice in position. You can't put no novice. You got to put a seasoned person in position, someone that's going to deal with things with wisdom, with heavenly wisdom. And Apostle Wade, and he took care of it, and nobody got the feeling hurt, but he taught a great lesson on it. People understood. You can't jump up and just say what you want to say sometimes. See, you got so many different people out in the congregation. You got the weak one, baby one. You got so many different levels of Christian. And you got to be mindful how you deal with every one of them. And that's where the wisdom I watched over the years that apostle demonstrated before. And we watched over the years how to deal with situations. You see? And you can't send novices out to do spiritual thing because they're going to do things and to get a pat on the back. And God ain't about patting on no back. God wanted to carry the assignment out, just like he told Saul. But Saul didn't carry it out the way God wanted him. And because of that, God rejected him. Don't be rejected, Claire. Do it like God said do it. Do it like a man of God said do it. Do it like a woman of God said do it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's just so much in this class. So much to learn. So much to see. So much to understand. Moses, faith in all my house, he said. He said, my servant Moses, he said, he's God's servant. Simply means that he belonged to God. Excuse me. And I'm his possession. I've been sold to him. I've thereby lost my freedom. This explains why God cannot remain quiet, but speaks out when his servant are slandered. You see it? We have no need to vindicate ourselves. Talking about like Moses' position. What good is it for me to speak if God does not step forward to do it? Why should any of us try to reinforce our authority? If our authority is from God, we need not strength. We need not strengthen it. Revelation should be the proof. If there are those who speak against us, God turns off God turns off his supply and seal up his revelation to them. Oh, I'm gonna read that again. I'm gonna read it again because you need to see this. If our authority is from God, we need not strengthen it. Strengthen what? Strengthen the authority. How are you gonna strengthen what God got? God need no strengthening. Revelation shall be the proof. If there are those who speak against us, let God turn off his supply and seal up his revelation to them, thus proving that we are appointed by him. Whoever offends God's delegated authority offends the one whom they represent. If they are the laws, they should find a closed heaven. My goodness, a closed heaven above them. And they will have to humbly acknowledge those authority whom God has established. Therefore, no one needs to strengthen his own authority. Everything depends on God's proof. And what that proof is, revelation. By shutting away revelation from others, God proves to them whom he has appointed as his delegated authority. You see it? All we stand in this class is that all God has to do to defend you, if those people that ridicule you, try to reject you, try to challenge your authority. If they are Christian, all God has to do is shut off their revelation from them. What revelation? Stop talking to them. Break the line of communication with them. And then they're going to know that God has vindicated. You see what God did to Miriam? God shut Miriam off from the congregation for 7 days. See, Moses didn't have to defend himself. And Miriam instantly, read the Numbers 12. Miriam instantly recognized after God shut off heaven from her. You see, God told Moses, if a father had but spit in her face, shall she not be sent from the congregation or sent outside the camp for 7 days? That's separation, you see. God is separated. So what God did to Miriam, when Miriam spoke against God, Moses didn't have to vindicate himself. God judged Miriam. When she became a leper, you see it? Could God have done another way? I'm sure he could have did it a thousand ways. But God used his wisdom. When Miriam became a leper, full of leprosy, she got shut off from everybody. Not only she knew it, but the congregation also knew it, that she had come against Moses. And then God separated from the congregation for 7 days. The Bible said the whole congregation was shut down. One person shut the whole move of God down. The camp couldn't move north, south, east, or west. They had to stay right there till Miriam was cleansed after 7 days, and she come back in. God let her come back in. Then everybody began moving again. So rebellion can't stop the work of God. See, that was rebellious word. It slowed it down for 7 days. And God permitted it to slow down for 7 days because he wanted the people to know that my authority will not be challenged. And they knew what had happened. Aaron knew, Miriam knew, and even Moses knew for sure that I don't have to vindicate myself. So Claire, I want you to know that these lessons here are so powerful, so powerful. We're going to take up a little, we're going to go a little further next time we meet. But they're so powerful that it starts with a revelation. Authority is a revelation. When God speaks to you, it becomes revelation, and you don't have to strengthen your own authority. We learned that class. Don't try to strengthen your authority. What do you mean strengthen my own authority? And what strengthen my own authority mean try to defend my own authority and try to prove my own authority. That defend your authority. No, God, if God calls you, he's the authority. He's gonna strengthen you. He's gonna defend you, and he's gonna make sure that he do the moving. He do the talking. So just let God do what he wants to do through you and in you. Class, you've been a good class. And I want you to know, class, that take a hold of them with some of these truths. We didn't share much scripture, but read Numbers 12 again. Read it real closely and find out through Revelation what we were saying here. What we were saying here is it'll take you a long ways. And not only take you, but it'll take the calling and the ministry that God has called you a long way. And if you're in supportive ministry, oh, you'll be one of the greatest support to your pastor. You see, if God called you to a public ministry, oh my goodness, you know how to function. You know how to function in a public ministry. And you know that you must have a revelation for your ministry, a reason why God called you and put you in authority. Some people just run because somebody says you look like a preacher. But no, you got to have a revelation. You got to have a revelation. All right, so class, my class is ended. Go in peace, and I'll see you next time.